The Lord be with you. I was 13 when my family went to the Mall of America for the first time. I assume I'm not the only one in the room who's been there. The place is massive. I don't know how many floors. There's an amusement park in the middle. I rode a roller coaster in the mall. It's the largest shopping mall in the U.S. But get this, it's only half the size of the New South China Mall in Guangdong Province. That mall has 5 million square feet of retail space for over 2,000 stores. It's the largest mall in the world. It was just built in 2005. But if you went there today, you might be the only one walking around. It's deserted, barren, a huge empty structure. It's an example of a failed building project on the largest scale. But it's also a reminder to us that the plans we lay for a future we imagine are never as certain as we think. This is a congregation full of architects and builders. I only know one or two who actually get paid to do that work, but we all are designing and constructing a future for ourselves. It's no coincidence that the story of Abram and Sarai comes right on the heels of two failed building projects. You know the first, the Tower of Babel. It's the paradigmatic human endeavor to create a name for ourselves, to construct a future on our own apart from God. That project ends in failure. The Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. The builders had the plans and the vision. They had the resources and the labor. They just never took the time to ask if the future they were building was the future God was building. The failure of Babel is followed immediately by a different sort of building project, the building of a family line, from Noah to Abram. But that human endeavor also ends abruptly. In Genesis 11:30, we read, "Now Sarai was barren. She had no child." Sarai's barrenness is not a minor detail in this story. It is the dead end on the road to building a future that's now as empty as Sarai's womb. Two failed human projects to secure a future. That's the context into which our God speaks his building plans. "I will make of you a great nation." It should be shocking to us. From barrenness to a great nation. From failed human plans to God's promised future. But this possibility of fruitfulness requires that Abram and Sarai go. And going requires that they first let go. The same is true for us, friends. In order to go into God's promised future, we must first let go of the future we've been promising ourselves. Let me say that again. In order to go into God's promised future, we must first let go of the future we've been promising ourselves. And we can't let go until we confront our own barrenness, until we acknowledge that the future we've been busy constructing for ourselves is no guarantee, until we see through the illusion that we can control what lies ahead. Consider the disciples. After 3 years with Jesus, After all his teachings about the kingdom of God, after his humiliating execution, after that abrupt and devastating end to this future they thought they were building together, even after Jesus' surprising resurrection and this preview of God's promised future, the disciples are still stuck. They're still asking the same question. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? The disciples have not yet let go of the future they thought they were building. They still have their gaze set on an earthly kingdom. Even Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection have not completely torn down and rebuilt their vision for the future. That's going to take some waiting and some praying. We're a congregation full of architects and builders, and that's not all bad. There are seasons for everything. There are seasons to plant, but there's also a time to uproot what's been planted. There's a time to build, but there's also a time to deconstruct what we've worked so hard to build. I know we'll continue to make plans for the future, as we should. We'll continue to construct futures we desire. But have we done what the builders at Babel failed to do? Have we stopped to ask the most important question? Is the future we're building the future God is building? The risen Jesus knows that the disciples are not yet ready to embrace God's coming kingdom. So even as he's sending them out as witnesses to his resurrection, he invites them to wait for the gift the Father has promised. And in that waiting, they must confront their own barrenness. They must confront the reality that they do not have the power or the wisdom to realize God's future. They must wait and pray in their uncertainty and their anxiety. They must wait and pray for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Before they can go to the ends of the earth, they must let go of the earthly kingdom they've been building. For unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Craig Van Gelder, I'm imagining a few of you know him, he taught missions at Calvin Seminary in the 90s. And he writes this: "It's interesting to listen to the words we use to describe the church's relationship to the kingdom of God. It's not uncommon to hear such concepts as, the church is responsible to build the kingdom of God, or the church is to extend God's kingdom in the world, or the church must promote the work of the kingdom of God, or the church is to help establish God's kingdom in the world, to build, extend, promote, establish. But these images stand in sharp contrast to the biblical language used to describe the relationship between the church and the kingdom of God. Do you know the words most commonly used? Receive, enter, seek, inherit. Quite different. Have we stopped to ask ourselves the most important question? Is the future we're planning the future God is building? And who is doing the building after all? Yes, as the prophet Jeremiah reminds us, we're called to build houses and to live in them. We're called to plant gardens and eat what they produce. We're called to seek the good of our city and our neighborhood. We're called to be doctors and teachers, and we're called to volunteer in ESL. We're called to study hard as students These are all good things. But in all the midst of that work and the plans we make, do we stop to wait, to listen, to pray? Do we slow down enough to open ourselves to God's future, to God's kingdom? Are we open to receive a future that might upset the plans we've been making? Are we prepared to enter a journey beyond the comfort and security of the life we desire? Are we seeking God's future through prayerful discernment? Are we waiting long enough to inherit the surprising gifts God wants to give us? Or are we just too busy building and building the future of our own design? Jeremiah goes on, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. As it was for Abram and Sarai, so it is for each of us. Our future comes as a promise and a gift, not as our own building project." Peter reminds us that we're not building the future. In reality, we're the ones being built. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. We must allow God to do the planning and the constructing. And God's building project may have a different timeline than our own. It may have outcomes and results we'd rather not look forward to. As Jesus reminds the disciples, it's not for us to know exactly what lies ahead. So Jesus invites them and us to wait, to listen, to pray, to sit a little while in the anxiety and the uncertainty, to learn the difficult lessons of patience and trust, to loosen our grip a bit on the future we've been building, to prepare our hearts for obedience when the unexpected comes calling our name, especially when it leads to a future we wouldn't choose for ourselves. In God's promises to Abram, it's easy to focus on the blessings. It's easy to skip over the curses that will inevitably come our way. The curses that await each of us in a broken and sinful world. I'm mindful of Jill Harkema and her family as they grieve Pete's death, as they grieve the loss of a future they'd planned and hoped for. Just yesterday, I was speaking with a woman who attends the Basic English Service. She's lived in the U.S. for about 5 years now. And she's been hoping and planning to bring her eldest son to live with her. But she met last week with an immigration lawyer, and she found out the process is going to take at least 12 years. It's hard to imagine. God's promises of blessing for us are never far from the hardships of this life. God's promise of life is no stranger to death. And yet in the midst of the curses we experience, God does promise blessing. In the midst of death, there is resurrection hope for us. Letting go of the future we've built is always painful. That's why encountering God's promises once just isn't going to be enough. The risen Jesus doesn't just appear to the disciples one time, but he presents himself by many convincing proofs. He knows how fragile their faith is. Abram heard a call from the Lord, but it is a long way from Haran to Canaan. I imagine Abram and Sarai had moments of doubt, moments of questioning God's call and God's leading, times of despair, fear of what lie ahead, a longing just to stay put and settle down, to get comfortable, to stop moving on this difficult journey. But the Lord is gracious on the way. The Lord appears to Abram on the journey. The Lord reminds Abram of the promise, and Abram builds an altar. Abram puts a stake in the ground on his journey of faith, an anchor to remind him of God's faithful promise. These encounters with God along the journey of faith are so necessary. Without them, we can't keep moving in stages toward the promised land, toward the future which God alone possesses. Which is why we must continually cultivate an openness to the Holy Spirit, to wait, to listen, to pray, to pay attention to God's word in the midst of our planning, to be reminded again and again of God's promise. Which is why we come to the table every Sunday, because we need to be reminded of God's promise. At this table, Christ invites each of us to come, to loosen our grip on our plans, to let go a bit, to be open to receive what God has in store for us, to receive the gifts that come by grace alone, to acknowledge again our own barrenness, that we don't possess the power and the wisdom, and we must receive. We come to this table to acknowledge that and to be reminded that our God is faithful, and that only when we are broken are we also blessed to be a blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.